Okay, we turn tonight to two passages. I'd like to parallel. We'll start in Revelation chapter 3. The message to the church at Laodicea. Revelation 3, commencing at verse 14. And unto the angel, the messenger of the church of the Laodiceans, write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Is there anyone here tonight that can tell me where I encourage just to read for this evening? Very good. Thank you. That saved the day. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Trust Peter, you'll get an extra blessing for reading it in preparation for tonight. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. It's not the way that we mention. When we say we're sick of something, it means we're tired of it. No, this sick of love is a good thought. I am desiring love. I am sick of love, for love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds, the deer of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether, or the mountains of division or separation. It has been a long and cold winter here in Western New York. How welcome it is, isn't it, to have the signs of spring. I think we actually saw some, Tanya mentioned, or noticed some flowers that began to come. I was looking for blooms, but she saw, I guess, there were blooms. Well, I think I was looking at greenery, just thinking that I guess that's better than nothing. But she must have noticed some flowers coming up in the gardens. But described here is the breaking of winter into spring. Lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds has come, and the voice of the turtle is in our land. Of course, up here we would say the winter is past and the snow is come and gone, and the rain has arrived. I have in our current that it's nice to have a long and hard winter over with, and the sign that it is going to be rain. Well, the flowers are appearing on the earth. Certainly we've heard the singing of the birds. I usually am paying attention, and I'm usually looking for robins and black or red-winged blackbirds before they arrive, but for some reason I must have been preoccupied, and the robins were here for quite a few days, I guess, before I started noticing. But as I was pondering this particular text, I preached on this years and years ago. I remember reading a sermon by Robert Murray McShane on the Lord reviving the heart, and felt that I should ponder, that we should ponder this text. And as I was pondering the subject after a long, hard winter, I couldn't help but ponder Revelation 3:20 as well. As we spiritualize this truth of winter emerging into spring and the soul being cold and the soul being hard and emerging into a state of revival and recovery, I was thinking of Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. I know that we can apply that perhaps generally to the lost, but that really is a verse for the saved. He was talking to saved people in Laodicea. And he was talking to those who were backslidden. The door was closed. The heart is hard. But the Lord Jesus is persistent knocking at the door. And the believer is already saved. The Lord has opened our hearts. And so it's not the unbeliever who has the power to shut the door to the effectual call of Christ that's being taught in Revelation 3:20. It's the believer that's hardened his heart and shut the door. And the Lord is saying, look, sanctification is synergistic. There's cooperation in sanctification. And we can wake up in the morning and say, I'm not going to read my Bible, and the Lord isn't going to open it for us. We can wake up and we can say, we're not going to pray today. We're not going to seek the Lord. And the Lord may give us our way, but He's there to knock. And may it be even a faint cry from within, Lord, my heart's cold. Please defeat this heart that doesn't want to open the door. Give me grace to open it. And I don't see where there's no handle on the outside. The Lord certainly can open it, but He's saying, I want you to open it. I want you to cry out to me. The Lord wants our love. He doesn't want a reluctant love. He wants a sincere love. But how we welcome April. I associate April with spring, even though spring supposedly sprung in March. I guess so for other reasons, April just signals to me flowers and warmer weather and let it rain. I guess I'm thankful so much more for rain after so much snow this last winter. And my mom's birthday was in April, and that always was special to me, and it marked spring for me. But some winters are harder and harsher than others, but they're all welcome when they're over. The Song of Solomon illustrates winter and spring, the spring change to end that winter for the believer. And it's really a text on the believer being revived after a long and hard winter. The beloved is returning after a season, that is the Lord Jesus, returning after a season of coldness. And so the language of revival. And that's the message to the Laodicean church. You guys are hard. You guys are cold. You guys think you have need of nothing. But if you only realized you're in a real great state of needing revival. You're cold. You need to be quickened. And I feel that this is an appropriate message for us tonight. To pray for revival in our souls as springtime arrives here in Western New York. Firstly, sometimes our souls experience winters of coldness and hardness. The righteous does fall 7 times. At times it seems so subtle, doesn't it? You think you're going on with God, and before you know it, a few days go by, and more, maybe a few weeks go by, and you realize, wow, I've gotten so cold. Those special times, those seasons with the Lord don't seem to mean as much, and I just seem to let things slip, and I get busy, and before I know it, secret sins have taken over. And no wonder why the Lord says, remember from whence you have fallen. That has not been an easy text for me, because I guess I was thinking that the Lord means that it should be easy for me to detect where I started to fall. And I don't know so much that that's what the Lord's saying. He is saying it can be pinpointed. That you can pinpoint where you began to get cold. But I do think that now as I look at that text, that it does take some effort to trace it. Because he's saying, remember from whence you have fallen. You've got to go through the process of thinking through things. Though it can be pinpointed, it takes some time and effort to trace it. And in other words, it at times your coldness can occur and be undetected and be so gradual, and all of a sudden you're in that state and you find yourself surprised. I thought that I was cultivating holiness, but yet maybe I was just assuming and presuming upon the Lord. And it's easy to do that as a Christian, as we go through the motions, as we're attending public worship regularly, and we're opening our Bibles even in our times of devotion daily. And yet even in going through the motions of these daily activities, we can still find ourselves cold. I mean, you ponder this. The disciples were with Christ, and yet he said, you have a hard heart. They were with him. They were watching him do miracles. They were noticing him praying. They were being taught by the Lord, and yet their hearts were cold. So we can experience some winters of coldness and hardness that we need to be aware of. In Song of Solomon, it's described as our wall, or mountains and hills that the Lord has to skip over and quickly run to us. And we think that there's so many mountains between me and the Lord, there's so many sins that now have accumulated, it's just going to take forever for me to get right with God. And yet you find in Song of Solomon, he's running, he's leaping and skipping over these mountains as if they're nothing. And he's there before she knows it. And she's, you know, did you notice that? She says, you stir not up nor awake my love till he please. As if it's going to be a while before her beloved returns. But notice verse 8, the voice of my, he's there. She thought it was going to take time. And we have this idea that I've gone away from the Lord, I've become cold, and now it's going to take that much time to be restored. And yet, he's right there. the voice of my beloved. Notice the exclamation mark. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains. What mountains? Skipping upon the hills. That which is between her and her beloved. She calls them the mountains of Bether at the end of the chapter. Bether means division or separation. What are they dividing and separating her from her beloved? And yet she's saying there that, Lord, you can be like a roe in a young hart upon, not between me, not with the mountains between us, but you're upon those mountains. That the Lord leaps over those and uses those as stepping stones to come back to our souls. That the wall that seems to separate us, he's right there and we can hear him. And she said, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows. Thank the Lord, there's a window in the wall. He can see through. He sees us. And he's saying, I'm here. I'm here. You don't have to wait days and months to be restored. The Lord is here to revive. He loves to forgive. He loves to restore the soul. Didn't David say, he restoreth my soul? Many times that one text has saved, has rescued me in times of coldness and despair. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And yet, notice the next text. We've been at the still waters on the green grass. We've been walking with God and been revived. All of a sudden, he restoreth my soul. How do you go from pastures and still waters to needing to be restored? See how quick? You're in the pasture and you're beside the still waters. You're having a great time of fellowship with the Lord. But before you know it, you need restoration. And he's right there to do that. It's a deceptive thing. The devil loves especially to tempt us after great seasons of blessing. And you know that from the Scriptures. He'll seek to bring great seasons of depression and doubt and especially tempting us to sin. Look at Elijah. What happened to him after a great victory. And David, how things were going well and David would fall into a state of depression and say, I'm going to die at the hands of Saul. Or he would flee to the Philistines. He did some very foolish things. And yet the Lord restored his soul, didn't he? In so many times, so many ways. And sins do come between us and the Lord. Our walls and mountains of division, worldliness and covetousness, bitterness, jealousy, pride, gossip, cowardice. And even you and I can name others that particularly apply to us. These are what are termed in this chapter foxes. The little foxes that spoil the vines. The doors that hinder our fellowship with God. And you and I know that some of the smallest things can fell a human being. Just a little bacteria can cause great havoc in our bodies, can't they? Little worms can do great damage to vines. Little things. The little foxes. It's not always the big things. It's the little things. Secret sins. Wintertime of the soul is no fault of God. Though he allows winter, he certainly has ordained the seasons of winter and spring and summer and fall. In this case, it's thou art lukewarm. You're the one that has brought wintertime to your soul. Though he may have decreed it in his permissive will, if you will, yet it's our fault when we're cold. We have all the means to stay close to the Lord. But having said that, he's ready to forgive. He's ready to restore. He's ready to speak. He's ready to knock. The voice of my beloved. What is he saying? He's saying, come unto me. Lovest thou me more than these? Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about. I know thy works. I know where you are. Come back. The Lord Jesus is always there to restore. Sometimes our souls experience winters of coldness and hardness. But Christ is willing and waiting and able to bring springtime to our souls. The voice of my beloved. Chapter 2 and verse 10. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come back. Come toward your beloved. Revelation 3. If any man hear my voice and open the door. Hear and open. Time is to be restored right now. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. Isn't that so similar to behold, I stand at the door and knock? I couldn't help but associate this text with Revelation. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The Savior will never let us go. He's faithful to us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. The devil wants to tempt us to think he doesn't care. Go on and live the way you've been living. He doesn't care. He's going to turn his back on you. He's going to forsake you. But Jesus told us to forgive a brother or sister 70 times 7. How much more do you think he'll forgive us? 7 billion times 7 billion? He's always there to forgive. What a blessed and faithful Savior. The winter is past, it says here. Doesn't it? It's the Lord saying that. The winter is past. The rain is over and gone. Come on, I can bring you back. Now's the time for the winter to be over. Don't wait any longer. The flowers are appearing. In other words, it's time to repent. Backsliding is at an end. I can restore your soul in a moment. I have power. I have love that's everlasting and effectual. The blessing awaits. You can see the flowers and hear the birds and see the budding of the trees and smell the fragrance. I love the new fragrances of the springtime, don't you? Don't you love the smell of the flowers? Springtime is ordained of God to remind us that He loves to revive, that we don't have to linger long in winter. And I wonder if God allows long, hard winters as a poignant illustration of how we should despise and despise lengthening times of coldness. We're longing for spring, aren't you? We're longing for warm weather and the flowers and the birds and the trees and being outside to do work in short sleeve shirts. The Lord has allowed us a long, hard winter. Sometimes He lets us go a long time to let us smart for it. The backslider shall be filled with his own ways, right? And you and I are allowed to linger in our backslidden state for the Lord to point out to us how unenjoyable it really is for a Christian. A true Christian cannot enjoy a backslidden state. A true Christian cannot enjoy a hard or cold heart because we're different. The Lord has saved us. The Holy Spirit is within us. Look at what she says in verse 14. She's in the cliffs of the rock and the secret places of the stairs or the cliff. And it seems that she's hiding as if she's afraid to come out. She's embarrassed. And he says, let me see your countenance. Let me hear your voice. The Lord is saying, I love you with an everlasting love. Thy countenance is comely. In other words, he's saying, I'm available, I'm willing, I'm forgiving. In verse 16, she says, he feeds among the lilies. What a comfort that is. He's the lily of the valley, we're his lilies. You know what he's interested in? His people. He's not feeding among the elite of this world. The wise and the prudent. Where is the scribe? Where is the prudent? Where are the people that the world deems most important? We should feel sorry and pity for them. All the limelight is all they get now. That's all they get. They have their reward. It's like Tim Griffith was saying a couple weeks ago, you can't even remember who won the last time. Who won 2 years ago, 3 years ago? You have time to think. You know, I think of these people that pick up the Stanley Cup and kiss it all. I think, wow, there are going to be a lot of sick people. But I think, you know, this Stanley Cup, where's it going to be in a few years? Where's it going to be in 1,000 years? It's just some gold, I guess. I don't know what it's made of. Silver. It's all it is. And it's a corruptible crown. Where are the guys that won it 10 years ago and 30 years ago? I think of that poor Sabre that, I know he didn't win a cup, but he died recently. Where is he? Was anybody concerned for his soul? Any of the other two in the French Connection? They didn't say anything about his soul. That he was a fun guy to be with, he was funny, he was kind, but nobody said he knew the Lord. We should pity people like that. They have their reward now. What a privilege it is to know the Lord. He feeds among the lilies. He really doesn't care what's going on in Wall Street or Unholywood. He doesn't care. He cares what's going on in the church. He cares about that widow who's crying. Nobody visits her. He cares about that orphan that has lost his parents in that tsunami. He cares about that church that now the people don't have jobs and they have needs. There are people that are hand to mouth, and they're not even hand to mouth now. About every third day. May the Lord bless the gifts that are sent. May the Lord bless the men and women that are going up in those areas. Christ is willing and waiting and able to bring springtime to our soul tonight, brother and sister. It's been a long, hard winter. The Savior is here to bring springtime to us. And lastly, the cold and hard soul, though, must make an effort to step out into the sunshine of spring or open the window for spring to enter in. There are people that probably can't tell the difference. They're always in the dark. The shades are closed. Do they even know that springtime is coming? Couldn't tell you whether it's winter or spring or summer or fall. They remain in a perpetual state. Rise up, he says. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. In other words, he doesn't force her. He doesn't lift her up. He doesn't make her rise. Pray. Attend to the word. Return to the Scripture with vehemence. Resume communion with God from the heart. Cry out for a heart. Open the door, he says. Sanctification is cooperation with God. If my people, he says, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Notice, effort. Let's not hide behind a sovereign God here and make excuses when he says, if my people shall do these things. Oh, he'll give grace. Underneath are the everlasting arms. But draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The means are available, but the means must be used. Power is offered, but we must take the word, and he'll undertake for us. And having been restored to the Lord, let us beware of returning to winter, where the woman says in verse 15, and I think she's speaking here, she begins to speak, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines of tender grapes. The word take means to catch hold of, to catch, to possess. Don't let them return and spoil the vines. Don't let that easily besetting sin wreck you again. Be on guard. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You shall have dominion over sin. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God. Christ draws near. I will come into Him. That's the result. I will come into Him. I will come in when He opens the door. He'll commune, and I will sup with you. But notice the grace. He'll receive communion, and He with me. What a blessed result through revival. What a blessed intent of revival. The cold and the hard soul must make that effort to step out into the sunshine of spring, or to open the window for spring to enter in. And what a blessed, blessed thing it is to be restored to our Savior. After a long, hard winter, sometimes our souls experience the winters of coldness and hardness, but Christ is willing and waiting and able to bring springtime again to our souls. But we who are cold and hard must make that effort to step out into the sunshine. May God bless His word to our hearts. Lord Jesus, we believe that You're here to revive. We believe, Lord, that You're speaking to our hearts. I need this truth. Lord, I pray that You'd give us grace to open the door. We thank Thee, Lord, that You are insistent on knocking. You will not let us go. And may we be like Jacob. Oh, Lord, we will not let Thee go until Thou dost bless us. Lord, we would open the door. Please visit us. May there be a permanent communion with Thee restored. Lord, may You sup with us. Please speak to our hearts every day. May we hear Your speaking voice in the Scriptures. Lord, receive our weak communion. Receive, Lord, our weak efforts. Thy strength is made perfect through our weakness. Receive our prayers. Receive our witness. Receive, Lord, our study of Your Word. Receive our efforts to see Your beauty and Your glory. Trust, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will continue to cause these truths to be experienced by us this week. Help us to meditate on these things. Give us, Lord, a consuming zeal and a heart, Lord, that's truly revived. We know that they go together. Deliver us from coldness. Deliver us from returning to wintertime. O God, bring springtime to our souls. Bring springtime to others. You know, Lord, others that are cold at heart, lingering in winter. Thou knowest, Lord. Have mercy upon them. Tug at their hearts. Knock at their doors. Come to their walls, Lord. Come leaping upon the mountains that have separated them from Thee. And let them see Your face and hear Your voice. And let them, Lord, love Thee. Quicken us. We pray this for Your sake, and that the world may know that You're truly a God of love, a God who changes us, a God who restores. Oh, so many, Lord, who have fallen need to be restored. You restore that which You took not away. Save many sinners, Lord, and restore many backslidden, even tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.